name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hi, this is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back. This is the month of May 2021.
As far as you know.
In this timeline, it is May. In the other timelines, I'm not so sure. But in this timeline, I do want to say that we have an announcement, and that is you can pay us to talk about whatever you want. So if you pay $15 once or over the course of this show, you can pick the topic. It can be Zack Snyder's Justice League. We could talk about Mortal Kombat. We could talk about, I don't know, anything.
I don't know why you keep throwing out the idea of the four-hour movie as an option.
Because it's the first thing that pops into my head. My memory is limited. Anyways, yeah, so we will drop those links in the bio. Currently, no one has paid us, so that's a bummer. So this is a plea. This is a Sarah McLachlan commercial to get you to adopt us, to pay us. Yes.
Again, if y'all want us to watch it, we will. I just don't know why that would be something that you want us to do.
I think we should do a movie commentary.
God, no. I'm vetoing that immediately. I'll give them their $15 back of my own money.
You don't get to veto. Okay, Colby, do you want to talk about the question of the week of the month?
Question of the week of the month. What is your favorite reality show?
So I don't really watch as much reality show as I do now.
You said that made me think it was like a spinoff of the regular show on Cartoon Network.
I don't watch as much reality TV show now as I did back when I was younger, but like Survivor was an all-timer for me. I do watch The Circle. I've dabbled in Real Housewives, not like the most, but I've dabbled. I don't know if I have a favorite, but I think honestly, if I had to pick, I feel like Survivor, The Amazing Race is definitely an all-timer for me. Colby, what about you?
I've watched about 20 seasons of Survivor since the quarantine started. I've also watched 30 plus seasons of The Amazing Race since quarantine started. And whatever 35 minus 19 is of The Challenge, which is now my favorite reality show. Just because it's like the amalgamation of all of those, like Big Brother, it's everything. It's everything that you'd ever want from a reality competition show with the people from those reality competition shows. So it's great.
Oh man, I forgot about Big Brother. I never watched that one, but it was on Mondays. Is it on after like American Idol?
No, it's Tuesday and also wrong channel. It's on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays.
Okay, but it used to be on right after a show that I would watch, but I couldn't tell you what show it was.
60 Minutes?
What? No, that was Amazing Race. It was 60 Minutes, then Amazing Race. We used to watch that on Sundays as a family. Thursday was Survivor because I had swim meets. Anyways, not important. Our special guest this week, what is your favorite reality TV show?
Well, I mean, Colby and I actually have done a podcast about this. So The Challenge is definitely up there. But I would also say, you know, all the Housewives. If I could just say Bravo TV and then The Challenge, I think that would basically cover my all-time favorite reality TV shows. Because
is your podcast with our friend Jen out yet for the Bravo?
I think it's supposed to be uploaded today. I have to double check.
Okay. I do actually want to listen to that one.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
I do like Top Chef. Top Chef is a
good one. Cooking ones are pretty safe. Oh, I guess I mean like do you count The Great British Bake Off, because then that's probably my favorite reality.
It is also. Yeah. That's a reality TV show, yeah.
Yeah, I would probably consider that my favorite
thing. I don't love Great British. They're too nice.
Yeah.
I like the nice. Oh.
It's very, I think the Great British Bake Off show is reality TV for people who don't like the aggressive competition of reality TV shows.
Which is me, but I figured out.
It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
I know my favorite. It is Taskmaster, which I think I've talked about before. It's a British TV show. It's so stupid. They do like little tasks like, oh my gosh, one of them is like get all the rice into a container, but you can only use the things on the table. You can't use your hands, or like write a love song and perform it. Like they're just like weird stuff like that. And it's all British comedians, so the humor is just like delightfully awkward. It's like, yeah, that's probably one of my tops actually. So British TV, yeah, love it. Special guest, our friend Liz. And this week we are talking about mentorship, which was actually Liz's idea. So kudos to her. And Liz, do you want to introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do? What's up?
Yeah, so I am Liz, a friend of the pod, a frequent guest of various pods across the podverse, I guess. I have a mic, so I will guest if anyone wants me on. Chock full of opinions, so let me on. I've guested on pods like The Daily Nightly, Still Great Pod, The Pop Culturist, like I said, with Colby, and then I recently did a Housewives one with Jen, also another friend of the pod, which should also be on Pop Culturist soon. So if not already, by the time this drops. I do not have my own, but I like to just guest around. It's kind of fun. Less responsibility.
Jen and Liz are like Bravo Housewives encyclopedias, and I just love their conversations, and I feel like I maybe bullied them into creating
I mean, a little bit, but I also think that it's something we both really enjoyed. Yeah. Like we said, even if no one else listens, like we had a great time just spending 2 hours talking about Housewives together.
Damn, that's
it's not a 2 hour long podcast. Oh, okay. We just spent 2 hours together. Yeah.
Got it. Oh, that's fun. Cool. So we will kick it off. So we're talking about mentorship. How would you define mentorship? I think first, and that can be a group question. And then what does mentorship mean to you? Colby, do you want to take a stab at defining it?
No. I was expecting to be asked this question first, but sure, mentorship. Yeah,
that was an optional question.
Colby, I can give you the definition of it.
Please do. What does Webster's define mentorship as?
And it says it's a noun, an experienced and trusted advisor, or a verb to advise or train someone, especially a younger colleague.
Oh, interesting that they would put it in like a colleague perspective.
Yeah, so. Now that I've had time to process that a question was asked to me, I was, my senior year of college, I was a resident advisor mentor. And basically, I was like the, I was going to say the Michael Scott of the RAs of because he was like the middle manager. But instead, I'm going to say I was the Amy Sosa for Superstore of the RAs. And it was an experience. And it was an experience because it's weird to mentor people that are the same age as you, roughly. But that's really been like my only experience with like mentorship in a very like defined role sense. Like I've definitely had like mentors outside of like official roles. But yeah, that's the first thing I think of is, hey, I actually was a mentor and some of them still talk to me, which is weird that you leave an impression on people. But yeah, mentors. Liz.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was not, I don't know if this was my idea. I guess Martha's saying it is, but she's referred to me as her mentor occasionally. So I guess that's, you know, I've reached an age, I'm a woman of an age where I can now be a mentor to someone. But yeah, I think, you know, to Colby, to your point, it's something that you don't even necessarily have to have like a great age difference. It's a lot of, I think it's experience and it can be life experience that you give to someone and you kind of walk them through and guide them through any sort of setting or situation, short-term or long-term, where you're kind of the one that they lean to, the one that they seek out advice from. things like that. I mean, I think it could, you know, the dictionary presents it into a much more professional setting, but I think that even in sports, you have your mentors, and those can be coaches, those could be team captains, those could be just leaders within that sport itself, where you look to them either directly or indirectly to kind of give you a direction that you may be seeking out, but you need a little help walking along that path.
Martha, before you go, I just want to say, and you can probably say more about this in regards to Liz than I can, but I imagine Liz is like the best mentor ever, because one of the first times we ever talked like one-on-one is when I mentioned that I was like maybe possibly considering like going into like advertising and marketing. And she was like, I have this for you and this, and you can send me this if you need to. I was like, oh my goodness. She's like ready to help at all times. And I can just only imagine like in like a more involved capacity than just, you know, some DMs, what she could do for somebody. So Martha, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what's great about Liz, and I guess we can just gush about her for a moment or two.
But what this podcast is about.
Well, that's what it's going to be. You're that's here, what it's gonna here be now. So that's what's going to happen. She mentored me in watching the challenge.
I did do that. I will claim that.
Anyway, Martha, I'll stop stepping
right now. No, it's okay. What's great about Liz is I can text her about anything in my life, and she will either respond with a question to like help me think deeper or like, you know, get more information. She always has time for me. But yeah, it's really about like, okay, I can text her about boy problems. I can text her about work and like career, and like DM her gossip. Be like, okay, this person was a bitch today. And like, she like listens. And I think that's what like, for me, a really great mentor is someone who, you know, you're obviously not quite a peer, but it can, because that wouldn't quite make sense in my mind what a mentor is, but it's someone who, you know, listens and you can trust. I feel like trust is a really big thing, especially because I feel like never until recently, I didn't understand the importance of a mentor. And at my job, there wasn't really opportunities for mentorship. And I think I had like a formal one in college, but it just kind of sucked because it was like old white men who were alumni of the business school. And it just like, it wasn't great. But I'm kind of rambling, I think. But yeah, I think for me, it's something that is obviously like very deeply personal. They know you on a personal level in terms of just like non-work mentors, but they also listen. They also like genuinely care about you and want to check in, because I feel like, you know, someone, I guess, who gives advice like, hey, here's how to, you know, make a good cover letter. They won't necessarily check in later. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think what you said, especially when you touched on trust and just being able to like, yeah, listen and the trust and those are big things, I think, with a mentor. I'm just thinking about the mentors I've had in my life or continue to have, like, you definitely have to feel comfortable with them. You can't just have a mentor forced upon you. I do feel like it's a little bit, oh my God, not to be Star Wars, but like it's almost chosen a little bit, you know, like.
No, it totally is. It totally is, because I feel like it's, you know, you don't want to go up to someone and be like, hey, Liz, do you want to be my mentor?
Right.
It just sort of happens organically. Like, I feel like you'd be weirded out if I asked you that. I mean, maybe not, but like, if that was the first question I ever asked, you'd be like, hey, I admire you, mentor me. Oh, yeah.
That's like, if we didn't have a friendship or any sort of like conversations before then, and you were like, you seem like someone I want to be my mentor, I'd be like, who the fuck are you? No. No, thank you, please. But yeah, I think it's something that you kind of establish almost organically.
When a mentor is forced on somebody, let's talk about some bad mentorship.
All right, I'm just going to tune out.
No, you don't have to. I think fresh eyes on this sort of thing would be interesting, actually. So I think a mini case study into bad mentorship could be the season Cutthroat of the Challenge, season 20 of the Challenge. So there are these two players, Cara Maria and Laurel. Cara Maria is 2 years older than Laurel. Nope, other way around. Laurel's 2 years older than Cara Maria. And for whatever reason, I still haven't figured this out. Laurel thinks that Cara Maria needs somebody to show her the ways in life, generally. And Cara is like, why is this lady who is barely older than me trying to tell me what to do all the time? And it's kind of a situation where Laurel's like, I'm going to be a mentor for this person. And Cara's like, will you please leave me alone? So what kind of feelings can happen when you start mentoring someone who doesn't want to be mentored?
I mean, I think, so this is not, in my company, we have a mentor program, a mentorship program. And it's for the entire agency, basically. And so it's really when you get hired, you're kind of said, you're told like, this is your mentor. And I wouldn't say that there are like some actual mentorship relationships have formed from those, but they kind of choose them at random. And it's like, who doesn't have one? Who needs to have a mentor? And
it sounds like Bigs and Littles.
It felt a little bit like Bigs and Little. I don't think it's the worst idea. I just think that, you know, the way they kind of approached it is like, and I say that because it's undergoing right now some revamping, and I don't know what it's going to look like in the future, but they're supposed to be kind of your like guide to the agency and like answer questions or like, you know, be able to help you kind of navigate through things and all of that. And I think just from seeing different relationships with that, sometimes you get pairings that are very awkward. You get pairings that like are two departments that will never speak to each other. So now you're forcing a relationship, not only from a work setting, professional setting, but like hoping that maybe there's some sort of like personality click that can happen there.
This really sounds like Bigs and Little.
Yeah. And like, I mean, when I first started, I was excited about it because I was like, oh, that's great. Like, I think I do think it's a genuine, like the great idea. It's almost like, you know, like Bigs and Littles, you know, but I do think that there's, you know, like I said, it's undergoing a revamp situation. I think in a professional setting, it's important to have those, but I do think it should be encouraged almost in like in an organic way. Like I kind of forced our digital director to be my mentor. I told him that like a year ago. I was like, you know that I basically just made you my mentor, right? And he was like, yeah, I kind of figured that. And he's 1 year older than me, but he's also been at the agency for like 6 or 7 years. And he also watches The Challenge. So we clicked on that and like Game of Thrones and everything.
The great uniter, some might call it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like either one of those shows.
I would call Game of Thrones the great unit. This is off topic, but everyone watch Game of Thrones. You could be super into it like we are, or you could be like a casual fan, but you would still want to talk about it. So it really
it's how we met. It's yeah, how we
exactly.
All met.
It is how most of the guests on this podcast is how we met through Game of Thrones.
But yeah, so I think that, you know, like having, especially in a professional relationship, you want to have that trust, that comfort, and also just kind of like from a mentee standpoint, because I feel like in a professional setting, it's usually the mentee that's establishing the relationship, right? Like they're the ones who are saying, I really like this person. I keep going to this person for questions or advice or direction or guidance, or I like what they're doing. I want to learn more about it. And that's how it usually happens. Sometimes the mentor will step in, but I think that it can be a little awkward. I've had people who said they were my mentors before when I was like starting my very first job. And I was like, are you? Do I want to learn from you? Not really.
Oh, I was just going to say, now that we're all talking about this, one of my, we can call her like a mentor, like supervisor mentor, is leaving the company on next Friday. And she just put in her notice. And I was like deeply sad about it because I feel like, I mean, this is a good segue into the next topic, but like mentors can be really valuable and you kind of sort of don't realize it until, you know, they've either like left your life or you've learned everything you could. Like it's an emotional moment forging that connection and like sort of being like, okay, now we're done. Like, I don't know if I will ever see this woman again, even though, you know, we work together really well. So I don't know.
But if you have a good relationship with her, you could still stay in contact and reach out to her for guidance.
That's true.
You know, even if she's in a completely different company, different industry, like if you have that established relationship, you are still able to continue it if you want to, I'm mentoring you right now on air. but yeah, I mean, like you are, you know, you can't have that. Like I've had people in my life that like I have relationships with beyond jobs that they still give me advice. It still happens.
How do you know when you as a mentor are like overstepping in this person's life, whether it be like their love life, their work life, hobby life? Hobby life is a terrible mom Instagram caption, by the way. Hobby life. Anybody oh, over 45, feel free to steal that one.
I think, yeah, I've never heard that. I would say that how would you approach if you felt like you were overstepping from a friend, right? So like if you're giving a friend advice or like getting really involved in their life and like taking the fact that they're not taking your advice personally, or if they are not listening to you in a way that you want, like it, once it starts creating those kind of like bad feelings for you, then I would think it's a time for as a mentor to reflect and say like, am I overstepping? Because am I investing too much in this where I'm like expecting this person to bend to my will? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. Like people are gonna, like as a mentor, you kind of have to, I guess the way I look at it, especially with like, you know, with you, Martha, like I'm going to tell you something and I'm going to give you my thoughts and kind of walk you through it, but you're still going to have your own free will. And you may do something that I disagree with a little bit or question, but that's not my role to judge. My role is to be there for you.
That's my role.
Yeah. That's Colby's role. We all know that. Mm-hmm. It comes up a month later on the pod and then he judges Martha. But I think it's, you know, it's almost like you just, I don't want to say like a parent because it's not like a parent, but yeah, you look back and you just say, okay, I may not have approved of that, but I'm not going to change our relationship based on that. I don't know if that answers your question or not. As far as overstepping, I think the person's also going to tell you, like, I think one of the things I try and ask, like Martha, like she said, I ask questions.
Laurel did not ask questions.
Laurel doesn't ask questions ever. Laurel forced her mentorship on Cara Maria because Laurel thought that was best for Cara Maria without considering Cara Maria. It was actually best for Laurel. It wasn't best for Cara. And I think that's the biggest thing.
And then there was resentment.
Yeah. And they ended the friendship.
Big time resentment formed. So like, I feel like in a lot of, for lack of a better term, forced mentorship, that's not uncommon. So, like, how do you avoid resentment being formed when you're in that sort of situation, either as the mentee or the mentor?
I think that I'm assuming you're asking me. I just kind of answered all the questions.
I don't really have an answer, so yeah, go ahead.
I think that, yeah, back to the point of, like, you know, if you're the mentee and you feel like it's being forced upon you, you have the opportunity and the agency to step away and say, this is a relationship that's no longer working for me. And that doesn't take away from anything you learned before then. You can still choose to keep whatever life advice or guidance you got from that person before this moment in time where you decided to step away. And because you don't want to, like, if you're building resentment, that relationship has very little legs to repair itself. From a mentor standpoint, like, you shouldn't be mentoring someone that you're going to be resentful for, whether you're resentful that they didn't make the decisions that you wanted them to or that you guided them to, whether they are succeeding beyond you. Like, as a mentor, I think a lot of times there's this perception that there's some sort of difference in authority or age or anything else. And I don't think a mentor is limited just to that. Like, as a mentor, you want to see your mentee succeed beyond who you are. And if you're building resentment off of that, then you either should not be a mentor or this mentee is not for you for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because when I think of, I guess, people who I've been jealous of in the past or who have outperformed me in some ways, sometimes it's really hard for me to not hold on to that resentment. And I feel like if you're a mentor, hopefully you're far enough removed from that situation, like you're not both up for a promotion or something, that it wouldn't bother you. But yeah, it is really like, okay, you have to have the best interests in mind. And I don't know, sometimes as a friend, I don't always do that. I'm like, no, I don't think they deserve this. Like, I think, I don't know, maybe that's just me.
But I think there's a fine line there between being a mentor and a friend where, like, if you don't think that they deserve it, as a mentor, you're in a position where you have more flexibility to tell them why they didn't deserve it or why what they could have done better to be more deserving of something or less deserving of something bad that may have happened to them. Versus as a friend, like that dynamic is really different. And it's really hard to define. Like, I don't want to say there's specific characteristics that define those two or separate those two, because I think there's a lot of muddiness that happens between friendships and mentors. But, you know, like if you didn't get a promotion, your mentor might say, well, let's walk through why you thought you got it or we should have received it and you didn't, and see what we could have done to improve it better. Versus a friend is going to be like, well, maybe you just didn't deserve it, and then just leave it at that. You know what I mean? Like, friends don't always try and probe or force you to, I mean, and that doesn't mean they're shitty friends. Like, depending on the relationship, they could force you to grow in other ways. I don't think a friend is expected to make sure you're growing in literally every aspect of your life.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really good topic. Like, what is the boundary between like friend and mentor? Like, I guess, for example, Liz, I consider you my friend, but I also, you know, at times consider you a mentor. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I don't mind coming to you for advice, but I'm also like, I don't want to damage this in one way or the other. Like, I don't want to lose you as a friend, but I also don't want to lose you as a mentor. So I feel like sometimes it can be hard to sort of define what that looks like and set boundaries around that. I don't know if you've experienced the same thing. I mean, I wouldn't say we're like, you know, the most formal of mentor mentee, but we do have really good conversations and like, I obviously value them, but I don't know. What do you feel about that?
I think it's really easy for a friend to also be a mentor. And it's like, what's the analogy situation? Like, a mentor can also be a friend, but a friend is not also always a mentor. Right. So like, because I have a friend of mine, her name is Shelly. I don't know if she cares, I may drop her name, but she's a few years older than me. And she was really like a life mentor for me for a long time in relationships. And we were super close. The quarantine, of course, kind of separated friendships and everything. And like, we still connect and we still text back and forth occasionally, but we worked together at my first job for years. And one of the best pieces of advice she gave me was when I was going through a really bad breakup. And she said, look, your love life is a TV show and you're the star. You're the one who gets to decide who the guest characters are. And like, I really took that to heart. And it was like something that I lived by still to this day, basically. And I like, while that's a really great piece of friendship advice, I also think that she was a bit of a mentor to me as well. Like, she also helped me navigate sometimes, like with our boss, who was really interesting, and just kind of the dynamics around the office itself, because she was a little bit older and she had a little more office experience and corporate world experience, and like was able to kind of pick those things apart. So that's where like I really leaned on her as a mentor in those experiences and that life experience. But we still had a friendship. We would still go out and get drunk. You know, we'd still go out and like just be ridiculous together. And so I think that, to your point of like, how do you balance that delicate relationship? You know, we also cared about each other as individuals beyond things that we were learning from each other. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to like a mentor versus a friend. A mentor can sometimes, it's really easy to have those boundaries of like staying in one lane of guidance, where a friend who can also be a mentor is a little more well-rounded.
I also think to that point, maybe, and this made me think of something, but if you are like friends first, I think sometimes the mentorship part can come after and maybe even comes easier than, I mean, like we talked about this in the beginning, but you know, it's easier for that role to kind of naturally happen. Like throughout the last few years, I've definitely made friends with people that are, you know, 10, 15 years older than me. And I don't know, just work that way, which is great. I learn a lot from them and they're really great people. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but I think it's just sort of like there are sometimes natural roles that will occur, even if you aren't seeking out a mentor. Like, okay, yeah, like you said, Liz, like your friend did have more life experience than you. You also have more life experience than me. So I think it just sometimes it makes sense.
But that's something, Martha, that what you said reminded me of something that Bomani Jones, who is a ESPN personality, said one time about working with your friends that you've made outside of work, and then being friends with the people that you meet at work. I feel like a lot of my mentorship, at least like professional mentorship, has come from the latter of just people who are already at the job and not from people who I've met through friendship. Because I feel like not so much there's like a level of separation with people that you meet at work, but it's like established that that's what you're there for. And I think that it just, like, if you're thinking about, like, set and setting, like, if we're taking it back to AP Psych, I feel like that adds to, like, you're more ready to be mentored / to mentor, if that's the case, if that's how you start your relationship.
I think it's a really good point, Colby, because, like you said, it's established that this is a professional setting, and so you're choosing to make friends with this person beyond the work hours, where you may only have a mentorship within those work hours versus, like, I love my friends. I love the friends I have. Like, I would not want to work with any of them. Like the ones I made outside of my office. And that is not a slight on them, but that relationship would be very different. I also think I'm a different person at work, not a terribly different person, but like, I think you just kind of have to. You put on that suit, right? Like, you put on that work suit.
You got it. I was just thinking today, sometimes when I'm on calls and, like, I have to present, I make jokes because it's sort of awkward when you're just, like, waiting for the screen to show up. Or, like, one time, I think a recipe popped up instead of the screen that I wanted to show. So I was like, sorry about this. Like, just planning the weekly menu or whatever. Like, just, like, dumb shit like that. I don't know if no one laughs at it, but maybe their mics are muted. That's what I'm telling myself. But
no, like, I for sure, my coworker laughs at me all the time because my phone at work, because I have to go into the office semi-regularly, and she's there when I'm there. Her desk is on the other side of our divider. And my phone never rings, and I do that on purpose because I don't like talking to people on the phone. But when it does, whenever I hang up, she's like, Colby, you are hilarious when you're on the phone because it is nothing like anything we've ever talked about. Like, phone Colby is a different person than regular work Colby.
It's hard. Like, you have to, like, you're on. It's a type of being on. Like, being at work with, I mean, and you can make friends. And, like, I have some of my best friends that I have made at work, and we have transcended a friendship beyond the workplace, where I really can be me and, like, make those silly jokes or, like, just gush over my latest crush from a fantasy series, you know, like, things like that.
Oh, I forced that on my coworkers anyway, the fantasy series, not the crushes.
All my coworkers are kind of bro-y men, which I love. Like, we get along great, but yeah, I don't think they'd appreciate that. So,
you never know. Tell them to try Infinity Train. It's a great show.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you might never. They might be entertained by who your crushes are and find out, like, want to know why. You never know.
I don't think that the bro-y guys really want to hear about Timothy Chalamet. I don't think
or Harry Styles.
I know the borderline of crush. Like, I could talk about, like, what's a woman everyone likes? Scarlett Johansson. I'll be like, yeah, that Black Widow movie was great, boys. Like, that's what I would do. But
do you have your skateboard and you ask how the kids are doing?
Yeah.
So I was saying, like, let me take my time machine back to my sophomore year of high school. It's like, yeah, it's Scarlett Johansson. That's the one everybody's talking about.
I want Martha to be like, Phoebe Cates in that red bikini. Am I right? And I want you both to know what that reference is into.
Over the head. Over the head.
There's an age difference right there.
Well, I think that also brings up another good point in how there are different types of mentors, because you can have someone who's like, you know, strictly career, or you can have someone that's like strictly relationship and sort of like veers into that maybe life coach. I used to be into life coaches. If you listen to this podcast way back from the beginning, like early 2019, I was like very into that. Now I'm not very into that. But I think, yeah, there's like, I don't know, different types. There's something for everyone. I feel like having a mentor is like having therapy or having a therapist. You need it. Everyone needs it. But it's not always easy to find.
I should have specified before this, like, I am not a professional life coach or mentor or anything like that. I've taken no classes or certifications.
You're just a good person.
I'm just a good person. I'm just kidding. I mean, I did actually coach youth girls soccer for 11 years, which is probably cool. The closest to my mentorship. And then also I was a roller derby coach for 5 years. I can't remember how long.
Oh my God,
when I was skating as well.
Coaching will bring it out in you, honestly.
I feel like that's a really good life skill to have.
Yeah, I was, I would say that probably, I guess that was probably my first foray into unknowingly walking into a mentorship when I was coaching. So I started coaching when I was 22 years old. So like I was, and they were under 14s, first year under 14s. So they were 11, 12 years old at the time. So I was 10 years older. I was not that much older, which when we aged out into under 19, so they're 17, 18 years old, like we're closer in age. Like, you know, there's a lot more conversations that are happening. Like they asked me sometimes about how to deal with a breakup. They asked mm-hmm. me about, like, you know, my parents are on me for my grades, or they asked me about sex a couple of times. And I was like, I don't know if I should be answering these questions.
You're too young for this.
Yeah. I was like, not till college. That's what everyone does. Just kidding.
Oh God. Not till college. Okay. Grandma.
Okay. I didn't know what to say. I mean, at that point I was just like, I don't know. Like I had to think about how I knew I wanted to be a role model for them in a certain way. I had to realize what that meant to them beyond how I presented myself. Right. Like I thought I was just there to be their coach, but they were now seeing someone that they were more comfortable with and wanted to talk to and have questions and like ask questions to, that they didn't feel comfortable about to other people. So I had to think about, am I comfortable with this? Do I want to take on this role? And then go from, you know, and I did. And I love those girls. I honestly follow most of them on social media still. Like they've had babies, they've gotten married, they've like had amazing careers. Like I'm that old person on Facebook who's commenting like, I'm so proud of you. I had no doubts.
I'm sure they appreciate that though. Also, I think everyone needs a breakup mentor, because the first time you go through it, you don't know when it's ever going to end. You know, like it doesn't feel good. We'll just say that. Like I have a friend. Not. What?
It does not. I just had like a visceral flashback to my first breakup.
Like everyone remembers their first breakup. Like I could describe in detail my first breakup, even though I think it was 2014. So like 7 years ago, I remember everything. Like it's just, so this is off topic, but like I have a friend that is sort of still going through a breakup, and like I think it's her first real big one. I'm just like, girl, it gets better. But like, I know I can't tell you, like, you can't tell someone that it's going to get better when they feel like shit. You just can't. So you have to like listen and whatever. But,
and they're probably, I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't know your friend, but it's like they're probably making like the first, like, first breakup mistakes. It's like, oh, maybe I should still talk to them. It's like, okay.
I don't think she listens to this podcast, so I'll tell you like this.
Don't do that, friend. Cut it off.
Well, she went on a walk. She's been on a couple walks with his mom.
Oh no.
Colby and I was like, I can't, like, I just want to be like, girl, you can't do that. In no way, shape, or form can you go on walks with his mom. Like
maybe in like 6 months when it's clean, it's good, it's fine, there's nothing else there. It's like, sure, but text the mom.
You can't. You just can't.
We're off topic. And you can
we're off topic. Who cares?
It's
my name's on the podcast. I say we can do it. Let's do it.
But I will say, I think just again, coming from age and to hindsight's 2020 and everything. And I think you guys both agree. Like some of that just comes with like one experience, but also two, it does age a little bit as well. Like in your own maturity level and what you've been through and your own experiences. So like if her first breakup was in her late 20s, she's not going to know what necessarily to do. And it's going to be a lot harder to break it apart and cut it off because I don't know how long they were together, but like you're in a place where you're watching all your other friends get married or like make big life decisions. And so you're like, maybe I should keep trying with this or figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually trying to think of like what I would qualify my first breakup as, because I had two boyfriends in high school, one that I didn't really know we were even together. And then the second one, I do remember breaking up with him. It was over a stupid reason, but I don't regret it. But like, I don't really remember, like, I just didn't feel bad about it. But when I was in college, I had a really messy on again, off again relationship for like 7 years. It went on for 7 years. And at one point I made friends with his sister, which was to your point of like the bad moves and the bad decisions. Like yeah. His sister was clearly favoring me over his at one point fiance. So
Wait, he was your fiance.
Liz, I love hearing about your love life. I really do. Because like, I never expect it when it comes. It's just like, hey, this reminds me of, and I'm like, yes, I am here for all of
it. And it makes it a lot harder, like when you break up, because you're not breaking up with that person. You're breaking up with two people or three people at that point. And that's going to be harder for her in the long run. So I don't know if that's like a piece of advice. You just want to say like, you're already mourning the loss of your relationship. You're going to be mourning this loss on top of it because she's not going to be able to have that moving forward.
And I think to sort of bring it full circle here, it's hard when someone you love and you care about is going through something difficult, but at the same time, you're doing well in your life. And that can be really hard to sort of, you know, share with them because they're feeling bad. Like, okay, so this friend, you know, going through a rough breakup, but at the same time, I was just starting a relationship and like the relationship is going really great. And I like felt like I couldn't share that with her because it didn't seem like the vibe. It didn't seem like something she wanted to hear about. So I think it's important to have someone in your life that, you know, is going to love you no matter what, like even if their life is, you know, not going so great, they're going to be happy for you. They're not going to like bring you down. And I feel like at some times that can be a mentor because I've had some friends that like, you know, they're happy for you, but are they really happy for you? And maybe that's just a bad friend. But yeah, there's like certain types of people in your life that you need is my point.
I think that's the biggest like determining factor, right? So like if you're the mentee, you're like, is this someone I can go to regardless of what their life is going through and feel that they are going to give me unbiased, impartial, like just clear cut advice or guidance regardless of what's happening in their lives, right? Like Martha, like, you know, like both of you know that there's some personal stuff going on with me right now with significant others and stuff, like just, you know, how things I'm kind of worried about, but like, I will listen to either of you if you have questions on things and you need any sort of help or anything like that. And that I think is where, you know, like that mentorship relationship exists between us because I know you care about me and that's not mm-hmm. a question. And I know that you want good things for me and that's, I'm not questioning that. So I am willing to be able to put that aside to address any questions you may have or needs you may have, or, you know, guidance you may need. And I think that's the difference. That's when you know if it's a mentor-mentee relationship versus just a friendship.
Yes. And I think knowing that we would do the same for you in those types of situations, I think is really important too.
Liz, when you were talking about coaching, it also sparked memories of, I never really considered mentorship, but I guess it kind of was. So both in high school and college, at some points I was like a section leader / section captain for high school and college marching bands. And The one thing that I'm not sure if we hit on yet is what happens when you see your mentees succeed. And it's just the best feeling.
It really is the best feeling. It's
awesome when you get somebody who, in my case, had like never marched before or like had just switched to the instrument and they were still learning it, and watch them nail like a really difficult move or play some weird lick that for whatever reason our arranger thought that baritones would be able to play. It's like, hey, you did that, and you did that because of you, and that was really cool, that was really awesome. And I think that's kind of what I miss from being in bands, is those sorts of relationships where you are being taught or you're teaching someone, you can watch them grow. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool feeling.
I would say, yeah, it's, you could bottle it up, man. It is a drug. That feeling I have, this has been 15 years now, I think, right? We're in the year 2021 of our Lord. Mm-hmm. So at least 15 years where, you know, the first team that I coached, we had a really good season one year where like everyone was scoring or they were getting an assist, like literally out of a team of 18, I think 15 players either had one goal or one assist or more of each. And this one girl, she usually played like a more defensive mid kind of defense position. And she had grown a lot in the last couple of years as far as her skill set and everything. But I was like, you are going to score. I know you're going to score this season. We are going to work for that to happen. Like, I can tell you want it. And she didn't want to admit it for a long time, but then she's like, yeah, no, I think it'd be really cool if I actually got a goal. Like, I think I'd want that. And I remember the field. It was up in Yuba City. I remember it was a December game. I remember what it looked like. It was like outside the 18 yard box.
December? We don't have that here.
I live in California. Yeah. And it was just an absolutely beautiful goal. And I cried. I was so proud of her. And she came running to the side. She's like, I did it. I did it. I was like, I know. I was so happy and so excited. And this is 15 years later. I still remember, and I get kind of choked up just thinking about like, that's the growth, you know, that being able to see someone advance, and that as a mentor, like it's not you, it's them. You just want to see them have this look on their face of like, I did it. I did this. I didn't think I could, and I finally did it. And I'm so happy about it. And you just want to be happy for them.
I want to bring up one more thing related to coaching, is that you can also have a really bad coach or a really bad mentor that is sort of like, you don't realize it until you have something that's good. Like, so I was a swimmer for a very long time, I think like 10 or 11 years. I did competitive swimming, and my high school swim coach was awful, like just horrible. I think I've told this story before, maybe not on this pod, but I had a bad season, like a bad back half of a season, and my races were really slowing down. Like, I was just not doing as well as I had in the first half. And she called my house, like my parents. I saw it on the caller ID back when, you know, we had that on home phones. And she talked to my mom for like a long time. Like, it probably wasn't as long as I remember, but I want to say it was like at least an hour, maybe half hour, an hour, big time difference, I know. But she told my mom that I needed to go get tested for anemia because I was going so slow. And like, I feel like in a high school sport, that absolutely crosses the boundary of like, okay, maybe, you know, what could it be? Something in her mental state? Could it be something going on? But no, like, it's something zero wrong in with me.
I mean, to zero in, like, I think that, and again, I don't know what the conversation was and anything like that. Like, there could be different, I don't want to negate your experience, because to have that feeling, like, that can be really violating, and that can just feel like really personal. Like, she's now just seeking out a reason to say that you were performing not to the standard she expected. I got tested for anemia when I was in high school too, because I was exhausted all the time. But I think high that school, that's, man. Yeah. But so I think that there's like, you know, that is crossing the line. I think, you know, a better way to approach that would have been like, here are some concerns I have. I don't know if there's a possibility of this being the case, you know, like at least giving the opportunity for self-exploration or at least for your mom to have the autonomy to make a decision for her own daughter.
I think that's the other thing. It was like, if, you know, if she would have talked to me directly and be like, hey, Martha, like, I've noticed you've been slowing down. Like, are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating right or something? Rather than like, nah, it must be anemia. I'm going to go talk to your mom about it. Like,
right.
Just like, there's a huge disconnect there. And
oh, for sure.
It really sort of soured me on swimming. Like, I went swimming this is not my personal therapy podcast, but like, I went swimming on Saturday and all
your names on the podcast, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Exactly.
I went swimming on Saturday and all these memories just kept flooding back to me of like how it was in the pool. Like, every time I go in the pool, like, I remember something from swimming. Like, I don't want to remember. I want to like forget that part of my life. So that's something like, you know, it can be really damaging, especially when you're young. Like, if that happened to me now, I'd probably be like, dude, you're fucking stupid. But when I was like 15, 16, that sucked. Like, that was just, you know, you're really vulnerable at that age is, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
I think there was the question, you know, like, do you have the opportunity to mentor someone? Would you, I guess for you too, like, would you mentor you? It sounds like in some aspect or another, each of you have, but, you know, moving forward, would you, and what would you do, or would you want to?
I mean, mentoring and coaching are like two different things, but I would be open to like coaching like youth basketball or something. I'd really enjoy that, I think. Like I have playbooks, like I know what defense we're running, I'm ready whenever the time comes. Even if I'm just the assistant drawing up the plays, I can do it.
I mean, I don't have kids and I coached for 10 years and they were not related to me in any whatsoever way. Like, my dad got pulled in by the club that I used to play in, was like, we need a coach. Can you join? And like, he asked me if I wanted to help him. I've only ever coached one family member for 1 year in my life. So you could do it. You could coach children, like strangers' children, if you want. It is actually very rewarding and kind of nice to have that separation, in my opinion.
True. But then I have to have the conversation where, like, the parent comes up to me. They're like, hey, Jimmy's got like an F in math. What are you going to do? It's like, what am I supposed to do?
You set those rules up from the get-go. You have a parent coaches meeting first off before the season even begins. You set those rules very clear. Like, if you do not want your child here, do not bring them. I will not, like, if they're here, they're coaching or they're being coached.
I guess so. She's mentoring me right now. See how she does it?
It never stops.
I'm sorry.
No, it's great. We should just advertise that as like a call-in show. Like, get mentored. That would be funny.
Liz is actually just Delilah.
Right. I was going to say, wasn't that like Delilah or Dr. Laura? Wasn't there one of those like fake doctors?
It was both of them, I think. Delilah was like Sunday nights. I remember Delilah.
Oh, I love Delilah. Delilah was my favorite because people called it the Delilah with some problems.
Do you think people don't name their kids Delilah because of the Plain White Tea songs? Hey there, Delilah.
I think it's that and the radio show.
I feel like they don't.
I really love listening to contemporary 80s to 2000s.
I like the name Delilah. I think it's super cute.
I think it's a really pretty name.
I just don't think people name their kid that. I haven't met a Delilah ever in my entire life.
You're the first Martha I ever met, so.
There you go. To answer your question, I think I would have to be very picky about who I mentor. Because for me, it almost feels like a self-esteem thing. Like, I wouldn't feel qualified enough to be a mentor, which I know is not necessarily true in some aspects. Like, I do have good life experience. You know, I am decently successful at a few different things. But it would definitely have to like feel organic. And I think I would feel a lot of imposter syndrome if someone came to me and was like, hey, teach me how to set up an Etsy shop or teach me how to, like, you know, run a podcast. Like, I've done both of those things and done them well, but it still sometimes is like, you know, I did them for me. I didn't really do them for anyone else, you know? So I think it just depends on what they want. But like, relationship advice, I'll pass that out all day. Don't even need to be my mentee. You can just get it for free.
The older you get, I think the more comfortable you'll be with it. Hit your 30s, you'll be fine.
Three more years, baby. Three more years.
Oh, you're old.
Shut up.
Not you, Liz, Martha.
I am old, Colby.
Liz is older than me.
Honestly, your 30s are going to be great for both of you. I really, like, I know people say it's very cliche that, like, your 30s are, like, really great and you really discover yourself and you feel good about yourself and comfortable. But, you know, as I end the decade, I can say that that is incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get to tomorrow, dude. I'm not thinking about 30. I don't know what I'm having for lunch tomorrow.
Neither do I, but
I think I'm going to have an Uncrustable that I bought. I'm really intrigued. No one cares.
I've never had an Uncrustable.
I haven't either.
I'm allergic to them.
Oh.
Yeah, PB.
There's taco ones now.
Gross. Well, Liz, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank
you. I sure learned a lot. You were a great guest to have. And I guess we'll find you next on the Pop Culturist podcast on your Bravo episode.
Yeah.
Excited to listen to
that. And when you want to have Delilah, I'll just come back and take listener questions. I'm kidding. I won't.
We need to come up with Liz is a great name. It's a strong name, but it needs to be something like white woman woo, you know, like Angela or something.
Yeah.
We need an alter ego. Anyways, find us online, MarthaandColby.com and Twitter.com/MarthaandColby. And we're on Foreign Nations Report for like 3 more weeks.
Martha, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Martha_Vader and on Instagram at Martha. Oh, nope. And on Instagram at Real Martha Riley.
You can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
We'll see you next time.
Be kind, rewind.
Find us online at www.MarthaandColby or on Twitter and Instagram at MarthaandColby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon.
We talked for a long time. Dang, it's the one we haven't done this long in a while.
I know. Crazy. I was like, oh, okay, 29 minutes. We're wrapping up. And then
I know. Then like, I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
This was a Pop Culturist podcast.